And time now for us to head back to the Douglas Pool and Cabana hotline as we bring in our first guest of today's show. It's our Hollywood guru, Michael Warschauer. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Doing well.
All right. Well, let's get right into it here. Scarlett Johansson has kind of come under fire recently. She's being criticized just a bit about some comments that she made about casting. Why is she under fire here?
Well, earlier this year, it was announced that Scarlett Johansson was going to star as a transgendered man in a film called Rub and Tug, which was based on a true story. And there was a big outcry over her casting, saying that there were a number of trans actors and actresses who could also fulfill that role. So she was dropped from the project, and I believe the last I heard, the project is still a little bit in limbo. But this comes on the heels of just a year or two before, where she was cast in the film A Ghost in the Shell, where she was playing a character that is originally Asian in the comic books that it's based off of. So she had sort of this outcry twice, and sort of, I think, out of nowhere responded to it just recently by saying, basically, I'm an actor. Why shouldn't I? It's my right to play whatever role I want. The whole idea is to disappear behind a character. So I think the biggest problem for her is that she really didn't need to say much, I guess, and just sort of let what it was sort of be. But I certainly see the argument. A number of trans actors and actresses have spoken up recently and said basically there's just not a lot of roles that are made for them or perfect for them, and this is one of them. So to give it away to a straight white actress seemed to sort of diminish their opportunities a little bit. So I think it's certainly a tricky situation, not one with an easy answer for sure.
I think it would be very difficult to dispute that, no question about it. And moving on to something perhaps maybe a little bit lighter, in the passing of a guy who was certainly considered a legend amongst many in the Hollywood industry, and that, of course, would be Rip Torn. With the passing of Rip Torn over the last few days here, and, you know, Matt and I were talking in the opening segment of the show, our generation kind of remembers him most for his role as Patches O'Houlihan in the movie Dodgeball, but, of course, he's had other very, very big roles as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Men in Black is certainly one of his signature roles as well. One of his last major roles was a recurring character, Don Geist on 30 Rock, who brought some really memorable moments to that show. But, I think you can't really talk about Rip Torn without talking about two really massive projects of his. The first one being The Larry Sanders Show, which ran on HBO during the 90s with Gary Shandling, who also has passed away, as well as the great Jeffrey Tambor and a number of really just phenomenal comedians who were on that show before they became famous, like Jon Favreau. Jon Stewart had a small role on it, but Bob Odenkirk. So that was certainly one of his first major iconic roles, and that show is actually available to stream right now on HBO, and it's one that, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. But the other big role that I personally love him for is in the Albert Brooks film Defending Your Life, about a man who dies and goes to sort of a middle ground between life and the next stage, where he has to defend his choices to see whether he can move on. And Rip Torn plays essentially his lawyer and is just hysterical, steals every single scene he is in. He was certainly a giant on the screen, a very, very funny man who worked well into his later years. So certainly a major loss and someone who I think will just sort of gain more and more appreciation as some of those older works are seen by younger viewers.
And when you stop and think about it, he never really was the main guy in any of the big movies that he's in, but everybody knows who he is. And I think that kind of plays to that line. There's no such thing as small parts, just small people or whatever it was. I can't remember per se.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and every one of those small roles that he had, he was undeniably Rip Torn. Like he was that character and brought his own personality every time, but did them with so much variation that you never got tired of it. And he was always just one of the funniest people on screen whenever he was.
Again, we're talking with our Hollywood guru, Michael Warschauer, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, USA Today released its list of top five weird shows for the summer. And there were a couple on there that I thought were awfully intriguing, but there was one that really stood out with Fred Savage, and it's called What Just Happened. Any idea what this is all about, and do you think it's worth watching?
It sounds like a pretty weird show. They really nailed it on the head on that one. It is a fake after talk show, sort of in the style of Talking Dead, which I know is probably the most prominent one that's on ABC after, AMC after The Walking Dead airs. Just one of these recap shows that have become so popular over the last couple of years. And it's based off of a fictional show that will not be aired that I believe is called The Flare, and it's like a sci-fi show. And so it's a parody of these shows. I'm not sure what it actually is going to look like when we watch it. It's certainly one to check out. I am very fascinated by this concept. Fred Savage has had sort of a strange resurgence these past couple of years of doing kind of odd roles or things that you wouldn't really expect for, a childhood icon, a child star icon. So it will certainly be a weird one, and it will certainly be one worth checking out. Hopefully it will do a little bit better than his last couple shows, which didn't last too long for Fred, but certainly one to check out.
All right, well, let's transition now onto the big screen. It's been an interesting last few weeks here at the box office. I mean, Spider-Man just continuing to crush week after week. Is it safe to say that The Lion King is going to overtake Spider-Man this coming weekend at the box office?
I think that's certainly a safe bet to make. Disney has really been pushing this movie for a long time now. Every bit of casting or a trailer has come with a tremendous amount of hype. They have a massive cast where they have Donald Glover playing Simba. They have Beyonce. They have Seth Rogen. They have just sort of an endless stream of A-list stars, as Disney can do. And it's, of course, based off of one of the most beloved animated films of the last 25 years. So I think there's every reason to believe that this is going to do very, very well at the box office. It has not gotten great reviews, though. The early buzz has been somewhat negative. So it will be interesting to see how all of that hype and all of those expectations that come with The Lion King, which not only was a successful film, but has been a massively successful Broadway play or musical for, I think, 10 or 15 years now. There's a lot of expectations on this movie, but Disney is a behemoth. They have put every bit of advertising behind it. It is a very, very family-friendly film. So I expect it to do very well at the box office, no matter what the critics say.
I saw that critics were kind of harsh on this, talking about the plot line, but it almost looks essentially like a shot-for-shot remake of the cartoon version, just with more real-looking lions, hyenas, and birds, and other creatures. How can people be that upset with a plot line of a movie that has already been made?
You know, and I agree with you. I think that most of the criticism I've seen, too, has to be revolves around kind of like just that it's so similar to the original that they're not really bringing any new ideas to the table other than, adding some bigger voice talent and adding this hyper-realistic CGI. I think it'll be interesting to see. I think that it's really going to be a good test case of how far we can push all of these remakes and reboots, because Disney, I mean, they already had Aladdin this summer. They had Beauty and the Beast a few years ago. At some point, I feel like the bubble has to burst on these live-action remakes, so we'll see how it turns out, and certainly I think it'll dictate the future of this sort of genre of film.
Yes, bingo. I mean, at some point it has to stop, right? I mean, at some point we're going to get tired of this, aren't we?
Hasn't Disney done this? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that they, you know, they've now done this, like I said, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, The Lion King, and The Jungle Book, and they've made lots and lots of money off of it. So that, I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, they're going to continue to hold on to that intellectual property and hold on to whatever, money they can milk out of it. But I think there's going to be a point where there's just audience fatigue, and especially when Disney has a streaming service and you can get every version of these movies available at once, how many times do you need to watch different ones? So I think there will be a tipping point. We'll see if it's The Lion King or not.
Well, this has been Disney's business model, hasn't it? Because, I mean, back in the day, they didn't used to put their movies out on videotape. They'd re-release them in theaters, and you'd have to go see them that way. And then eventually they did, and now this is their way of kind of re-releasing it into theaters so people will go see it, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it really does. I mean, that streaming service is important, too. Yeah. It's the first time that basically the what they call the Disney Vault, all of their old films that they have been very selective in when they release them and how long they're released, even to buy a home video. This is the first time that all of those films will be in one place and accessible all the time. So as much as they love, you know, selling tickets at the movie theater, they're also hoping that the same people that are interested in seeing these movies are then going to invest in that streaming service. And so even if they don't do very well in the theatrical run, they'll pull in viewers who have subscribed to it and are looking just for more Disney content to enjoy. So I think that's a big motivator in a lot of these, but it's certainly time will tell, and it'll be interesting to keep a close eye on.
All right, Micah, we'll close out on this. What should we be watching for this week? What do you have lined up for this week's Picks to Click?
Well, there's a couple of Netflix powerhouses returning to binge watch this weekend. You can watch the new seasons of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld, as well as the new season of Queer Eye. They'll both be out this Friday. And the other thing I wanted to recommend, I know I had it on my list a few weeks ago, but the new HBO show Euphoria, I have really been enjoying it. I think it's one of the most visually inventive shows on TV right now. Nothing certainly looks like it. It is a little intense. I certainly wouldn't recommend it for the faint of heart. Definitely not for kids. It's very graphic and explicit at points, but it's a very unique TV show, a teen drama, but sold on HBO. So they have a lot of leeway. Like I said, just visually, it is pretty stunning and certainly worth checking out.
We will certainly check that one out for sure. Michael, we thank you for the time as always, my friend, and we look forward to doing this again soon.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Michael. Again, Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.